Church, fun and morning. Great to be here in the 10th Street Church of Christ, praising God and having favor with the people. That's what God wants us to do, right?
Right on.
Right.
I'd like to take this moment to acknowledge the visitors and speak on behalf of the congregation. We are encouraged by your presence. We pray that we can reciprocate the same encouragement. Also, I'd like to, if you're here for the first time, or you're just a visitor, I want you to know that they have a great minister in Brian Anderson. And he does such a wonderful job. I personally think he's one of the best ministers in San Diego. So don't make this be your last time here. Amen?
Amen.
Having said that, our objective today is, the left is designed to reveal when the church is not focused on Jesus, the end result is we're not pleasing to God. Second one is we're going to have a statement with missing words, and our objective is to fill in the blank, which is going to be within 10 or 30 minutes, okay? Third one is we cannot forget that we are in a spiritual war. See, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against power, against rulers of darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The spiritual war is not against people. Certainly not against those in the Church of Christ. We're in a spiritual war where we are facing Satan, against Satan's wiles, against Satan's powers, against his evil spirits. Satan would use any method, any tactics to persuade us to follow his way. He would give us any kind of issues. I'm talking about sophisticated, complicated, educated, captivated, suffocated, assassinated, opinionated, intimidated, manipulated, discriminated, frustrated, calculated, stimulated, liberated, and fabricated. He would do any kind of way to have a fall in the temptations. Therefore, we need to be obedient to the word of God. See, Peter said this. This is one of the reasons Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may defile." A task to be vigilant in the spiritual war. The scripture does not convey that we ought to have surveillance over Satan, watch over Satan. That's not what he's saying. Peter encouraging us to observe Jesus and not blink an eye, watching Jesus, observing Jesus, watch and serve Jesus in every detail, his every detail of Jesus Christ. And guess what you'll find yourself in a heavenly mansion, John chapter 14, verse 2. See, Apostle Peter encourage us to observe and not forget how Jesus prayed for his enemies in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. He encouraged us to not forget, observe and not forget how Jesus rejected temptation when he was in a vulnerable condition in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He encouraged us to observe and not forget how the attitude that Jesus had regarding his Father God's business in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He asking us to observe and not forget the love that Jesus had for us, that he gave to render his life, that we can have eternal life, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He asking us to observe and not forget how he never for one moment had an unholy experience of sinful. He never had that. Judah betrayed him, but he kept his composure, kept looking at the prize. Matthew chapter 26, verse 23. He telling us to observe and not forget how Jesus dealt with those that are getting false accusations against him, despise him. Matthew chapter 26, verse 60. He's asking us, put our eyes and observe, church, how he taught. Jesus taught the word of God in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. He asked us to observe and not forget how Jesus lived up to the expectation of his Father God. John chapter 17 and 4. We got to continue to renew our minds daily. This is not just on Sunday, but each and every day of our life, if we want to walk circumspectly in the way of pleasing to God. We got to walk with the Spirit of God. This is daily thing. See, Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and 21, he said what? He said, Jesus is our example. We should follow his footsteps. This should be our mindset each and every day we go. Now we have here, let's recap what I just said real quick. We're talking about that we have the enemies that Jesus had. Jesus has enemies, but guess what? He prayed for them. Look at it. And therefore, he was in a vulnerable condition in the wilderness. But guess what? He never sinned. He had the right attitude. It's like we could have the right attitude. He loved everyone. No hate in his body, in his mind. He was never unholy, not for a split second. He dealt with accusations that was against him. He continued to teach the word of God. And we can do the same thing. Oh, he lived up to God's expectations. What I have here, evaluate. The question that I have, who evaluating our spiritual life in this spiritual walk? I'm asking, who's giving us the thumbs up or the thumbs down in our spiritual walk? In the spiritual walk, is our peers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, co-workers, friends, enemies, spouse, siblings, yourself? I know for a fact, I guarantee I know for a fact, my wife evaluate me. Each time she say, you call yourself a preacher. I know. But based on the information we receive, or what we gather, we tend to believe that information, especially if it's something we want to hear. When we evaluate ourselves, we tend to tell ourselves things we want to hear, not the things we need to hear. See, we can understand the scripture, this particular scripture that the Bible says in Isaiah 55 and 8, when he said, your thoughts are not, God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither your ways my way. My ways are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts. And we can understand that we cannot ever, ever think for God. And no matter how smart someone is, how intelligent someone is no comparison to the wisdom of God. If we can fathom that, we'll make it to heaven, I guarantee you. The scripture reading was James chapter 1, verse 1 through 27. Let me get there. We're almost there. He says, wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our soul. See, James is encouraging us to remove sin from our lives, the filthiness of having a wicked heart, and transform it to a good heart. And the only way you can do that is if you receive the word of God, because it saves our soul. And he goes on and says, but ye be ye doers of the word, and not hear it only, you see in your own self. Don't just hear the word of God. Put it in action, apply it to our lives. Apply it to your life that you can move in the way God would like you to move, design. He goes on and says, in 3, he says, for any of you be hearers of the word and not doers, he is like until a man beholding the natural face in the glass. If you don't remember anything I say in this sermon, understand this, the Bible will give you the true reflection of yourself, the true reflection. That's the mirror. If you don't look in the mirror, you're deceiving your own self. Now, understand this. Every day I have to look in the mirror to see if I'm in good shape or not. And that's the same mindset we got to have when we're trying to please God. We got to look into this Bible, which is the Bible, which is the mirror that's going to give us the key to heaven. It's telling us, it don't never lie. That Bible never lied to us. See, I even lied to myself for years. I didn't have my contacts in, and I kept saying, I'm okay. And 5 years after coming from college, I looked in the mirror and said, whoa, who is that guy? It was me. Big and fat now. I used to be slim. Amen. My wife's trying to get me back there, but it's no hope. He said,
yeah, it is.
For he behold himself and go his way, straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. The word of God will correct any deficiency that we have in our life. That's all he's saying. Especially if we're trying to please God. He goes on to say, but whoso look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he's been not forgetful of hearers, but a doer of his work. This man shall be blessed indeed. God's word is perfect. It would keep us obedient to God for the rest of our life if we just follow that pattern that God has for us. He goes on and says, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Christian must stop being sinful and be having of a sinful behavior, gossiping, and all the evil talk. That's what he's trying to get us to say, convey to us. Because it's useless. Our spiritual life becomes useless. He goes on and says, a pure religion and undefiled before God. And the point is this, to visit the fallen, the widows, and their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. See, that pure religion I'm talking about is always going to please God. See, we don't want to be that type of group that worship God in vain. The Bible tells in Mark 7:7 how being in vain do they worship, teaching from the doctrine of the commandments of man. We don't want to be in that category. So we want to follow the word of God the best way we can. The only way I know how to follow the word of God is what? Reading and studying God's word, renewing my mind daily. This is a daily thing. That's if we try to walk circumspectly. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when you find yourself following the Bible, see, this word of God, I should say, it evaluates us constantly. And when you understand that, it will eliminate all kinds of internal problems that we sometimes face in the church. The egos, the division, I heard it this morning, the lack of love, the respect of others more than others. It's loyalty issues. That we just concentrate and focus on the Bible. Focus on Jesus. See, today we're going to find out how we're progressing in the spiritual walk in 2024. But the title of the lesson is Reality Check. You see, in the spiritual war in 2024, as a whole, not just talking about one congregation, as a whole, the Church of Christ needs a reality check. We need a reality check. Because it's some Christians, not all, have forgot to observe Jesus Christ and have taken their own evaluation and think they are holy to God. And we're going to understand in a spiritual war that can cause a fatal problem, fatal when it comes to us becoming our soul. So we got to be ready. See, the reality check is the church has become complacent. We're satisfied with the condition that we're in. Not saying, oh, we are missing our children. We are missing our grandchildren in this congregation. We're missing a whole generation. We are in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war. See, reality, I said it last week. Listen, the apathy, the spread of the gospel. 100,000 people die each and every day unprepared to see Jesus Christ. We're in a spiritual war. Reality. Christians, elders, preachers, some of them have the selfish motives, the wrong motives when it comes to the word of God. We're in the spiritual war, church. Reality, church. I call it what? The five P's. Procrastinating. We're putting off things we should be doing right now. We're laying it and putting it on the side for next year. We're not guaranteed for next year. Personnel. I've seen churches. I've been involved in churches. We're involved in, we're counting success based on how many people we have or don't have in the church. Prosperity. We're banking on how much money we have. That's, we're successful because of the money we have, or the money, lack of money we don't have. We're not successful. We're banking on, I've seen it in the church that God has given us the plan of salvation, and I've seen with my own eyes how they changed the way we sing now. They add new wrinkles to the church. The Bible tells us we cannot add or subtract to God's word. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Partitions in the church. I heard it right this morning. The church, we are family. Whether you're black, white, or Asian, it doesn't matter. We are family. And we ought to pray and preach and preach and teach on one accord. Because heaven is not going to be divided. We're in a spiritual war. And that's reality. See, reality is Christians have went astray, have abandoned the church. Not because Brian Anderson preached, it may be because some of us are not treating each other like Christians. So we have to understand that, church. We're in a spiritual war where the church have overlooked their responsibility for the community. We have to continue to go out there and teach the those that are lost, especially in our communities. Reality check. And it's time to walk. We got some guys that have been on this battlefield for a long time. And they're exhausted, but they cannot stop because nobody is taking their place. The young people are not taking their place. We got to get here. So we got to teach the young for to take our place, church. Man, we got compared. I told you we're almost there. We're almost there, church. See, reality check is of Christians in the church evaluating and comparing themselves to other Christians in other churches. And that can destroy us. I can destroy the church as a whole. See, comparing ourselves to one another, you can develop sin. We're talking about gossip. We're talking about backstabbing. We're talking about betrayal, discouragement. All these things linger. That's how we do sin. I tell you, it's clever how he divides these temptations, how he tried to get us persuaded and not focus on Christ. I've seen preachers in competition with other preachers. Song leaders in competition with song leaders. Christians in competition with Christians. See, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, when we compare ourselves with one another, it's not wise. We're deceiving ourselves. We got to compare ourselves at all times with the word of God. As we get close to the lesson, we're talking about Revelation now. When you look at Revelation, he talks about the seven churches. Now, these seven churches in Revelation, they all represent the churches today. Every church in that Revelation is an image of the church. And we're going to talk about Sardis from Revelation. How much time I got? 10 minutes to get it done.
All right. Don't do that.
Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6. We're going to look at how these Christians assumed that they were doing some great things for the Lord. Like I said, these churches represent the seven churches and the seven churches of the world. This church saw this. There was this spiritual war going on. They had a war going on. A war against Satan, and the Roman Empire would continue to persecute them. So they had a lot of things going in their way. But guess what? They were so, they was on top. They thought they had everything going on because they were on top of the mountain. They had over 100,000 people in their membership. They thought they had it going on. They had activities, outward activity. They had ministries all over the place. They thought they had it going on. So let's figure it out. Let's read it real quick. He said unto the angels of the churches of Sardis, like, these things said he that had the seven spirits, Holy Spirit with completeness, and seven stars. We're talking about Christians here. I know thy works, that thou had a name that liveth and art dead. When you stand here, those seven spirits are the completeness of the Holy Spirit. Those seven stars are talking about the Christians that went in seven churches. He goes on to tell them that. I know Jesus said, I know your work, because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18 to 20, he said, where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. So he recognized, he observed everything they were doing. So what he's saying is, he saw that they were singing. They were conducting the prayer, the communion, offering, teaching. They were doing the things that we're doing right now. Worshiping God. And see, you cannot have one of these missing without worshiping God. You have to have these the five parts of the worship. One of these are missing. They didn't do that. They were doing exactly that. Oh, like I said, they had activities going. They were doing wonderful things. They compared themselves to those seven, to those six churches out there. They saw Laodicea. They weren't like Ephesus church, who lost their first love. They wasn't like Pergamum church, whose unsound doctrine. They wasn't like Thyatira church, who had Jezebel, introduces Jezebel ministry. It wasn't like that. There was more comparing themselves to Philadelphia and smaller church. We are just like them. We're on the same page. That's what they thought. See, they thought that they were the king, the Lion King. They thought they was in charge. They thought they had it going on. If we read the scripture again, when they read that book, they found out they were dead, spiritually dead. See, we ought to thank Jesus for that. We ought to thank God for allowing us to have this book, because Jesus spared their lives, church. Well, at least some of their lives, because if you went out that book, they assumed they were the lion. They seemed they had everything going on in their way. But that book came, and they finally read it, and they woke them up and said, God, we are spiritually dead. We almost there. See, the sin has penetrated the church. See, Brian touched on this like a couple of weeks ago when he says, in James chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore to him that knows to do good and does not, to him is a sin. They knew what to do, but they did not do it. They started ministries and didn't finish. And that because they were jeopardizing their lives, their soul, church. See that? When they found out, when they looked in the mirror, they wasn't that line anymore. They was that kitty cat. Sometimes we look at it and think we that big giant lion, but when we look in that Bible, I tell you what, that Bible will give us a true reflection of who we are. And that's how we have to look. We have to always look in this Bible, and the Bible is going to always tell us the truth. So when he looked in that, when he looked in the mirror for the first time, we talking about Christians here who forgot to look in the Bible, assumed they were doing great for years. And when they looked in the Bible, they said, oh, we're not so perfect. That's how we have to look each and every day. And Rex said it this morning, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. So we got to get back and understand. That's why God tells us in Ephesians 4:23 to renew our mind. Let's do it. Constantly study the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. We're talking about when we have this word of God, guess what it does for us? It makes us pleasing to God when we study it. We can help cause not so many problems out in this world. We just stick to this Bible. He goes on to say, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy work perfect before God. That church saw this start thing. We're doing everything right. That's not saying how wonderful God is. He can send stuff to us and say, hey, get back on the right track. He goes on and says, strengthen the thing. See, I don't know everything that's going on in the church, in this particular church. But if you've got some ministries that's already to die right now, it's not died, it's not dead. He's saying, straighten them up. Look at them. Because guess what? If we look at them and you strengthen them up, guess what? They're going to be alive again. You won't be dead spiritually. Let's go on. We're almost there. We said in Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, hold fast, repent, that therefore thou shalt not watch. I will come in thee that is deep, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. All he's simply telling us to do, we got to prepare right now. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. You got to prepare yourself. Talking not just you, talking about me as well. So when I'm talking about, I have studied enough to know Jesus already hit me. So I'm not just relaying to you guys now. But I already preached to myself. Amen?
Amen.
And he goes on and says, thou hast few names even in gardens which have not defiled their garment. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Talking about those who study, who continue to study, continue to be obedient to God. It's some. Even though you may be in a dead congregation, whatever, you got some that just continue to focus on God. No, they have to focus and serve Jesus Christ. And that's the mindset. God want all of us to do it. It makes no sense to come here every Sunday and you halfway there. Let's get all the way. And he goes on and says, and 6, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So you heard the word of God today.
They heard it.
They heard it. They heard it, church. They heard it. And they was dead out. What they heard was, it was in jeopardy of losing their soul. They heard that they wasn't operating properly when it comes to the word of God. They heard the benefits of doing it correct way. See, in other words, he was trying to tell you that don't evaluate yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. That's God's job. Look at the word of God, study the word of God, regurgitate the word of God, and live God's life, a godly life. Who cares what? If you follow this plan that God has, we will see heavenly mansions. If you're here today, you have heard the conclusion. You're here today, and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You got to hear the word of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, so that faith come by hearing the word of God. Then you heard it today. You got to believe. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that Jesus can save you from this wrecked world out here? And all you have to do is turn away. The Bible tells you in Luke 1:33, I tell you, neighbors, if you repent, you shall likewise perish. Repent and turn away from the wicked ways and give your life to Jesus Christ. And you get that way, the Bible tells in Matthew 10:32, whoso therefore confess before men, he will confess before my Father which is in heaven. Confess the sweetest name in the Bible, and that's Jesus Christ. And guess what? We'll baptize you today. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:27, for many of you have been baptized, Christ has put on Christ. I'm actually to come and be singing a song after so that. Will you come today?